Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. Today's show, I get to interview three moms, Amy, Holly, and Kristen, who are the founders of the Just Think podcast. They're going to share how they've come together, worked together to figure out what's going on in our world. They're working hard to bring the conversations and solutions about how we raise our kids, standing for health freedom, with their Just Think podcast. I've been on the show. You're going to love these three ladies. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. My topic today is pruning. Like pruning an orchard, a fruit tree, I had a parent recently ask me to explain neurological pruning. They had a child who was struggling with some neurological developmental issues. And as you think about pruning a tree as an example, you cut off some branches and twigs that are getting in the way of that tree bearing the best fruit it possibly can. Well, with brain synapses, and folks, we have over 100 trillion connections of these brain neurons, right? The cells that are doing all the connections that are neurologically important to us. That is 12 zeros. That is 1,000 billion connections. And in fact, one-year-olds have, I've read, 10 times more than adults do. So starting at age one, something very important happens, and that's pruning. When you remove those connections that are perhaps in the way, it allows the brain to function more appropriately. I got to thinking about pruning in our own lives, in my own life. You know, we all face failure, rejections, loneliness, lack of support even. And I know when I was going through my most difficult time, many of you know the story, the board just yanks my license. I'm a danger to public health. And I, at that low moment, eventually with some help, some coaching, I highly recommend it if you're in a struggling situation, I had an aha moment. I needed to do some pruning in my own life. In order to excel and succeed in the purpose that you're here for, sometimes it takes that job of just cutting out some things that are in your way that are preventing you from reaching your ultimate potential. So I'm grateful for the opportunity for pruning. You know, in life, pain is inevitable, but suffering's optional. And so we can choose during those moments that are difficult to see the struggle as an opportunity for growth. And join me, if you like this concept, in pruning away those things that may be holding you back. Welcome, Kristen, Amy, and Holly to With the Wind, Science Revealed. Ever since I was on your Just Think podcast, I have wanted to have you three on our show. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Fantastic. So I just know you three as moms, but I would love for our audience to get to know you, each of you a little bit. So maybe one at a time, you can kind of introduce yourselves and what in your lives led you to create Just Think podcast and be on this journey the way you are.
Do you girls want to go first?
Go ahead, Holly. Okay. Go for it. You start.
Well, it was sort of my idea, so I'll start, but none of this happens without these two. We three are just so grateful to have each other. First of all, as friends, we met through our businesses, so we actually do work together, but we found at as moms, as citizens, as women, in 2020, we were just thinking. And we came from across the political spectrum. If you've ever listened to our show, you hear that in the intro. We were raised that way, but we had all gotten to a place in our lives where we didn't care about the tribalism of partisan politics. We wanted to know the truth. We didn't believe we were getting the truth. I think people would now say, what are you, conspiracy theorists, right? That's the demonization of thinkers now. If you question anything, you're now a conspiracy theorist and an idiot. Well, we were three idiots. Not really. We were three people who said something doesn't add up. And it really, if you look back, it didn't take much for anyone to have that thought. As long as you were willing to open your minds and wonder, what isn't adding up here? So we were having these conversations through text threads. Kristen especially was posting stuff in her stories and social media account, and she got shadow banned. And I'll let them tell that part of the story. And for literally sharing things like Anthony Fauci talking, like it was like, well, this was on the news and I reshared it. Now I'm getting banned. That's weird. Right. And so I said, well, then why don't we have a podcast so that we can stop having these conversations in a space where we're being censored anyway? And we can bring nuance and context to the conversations, because sometimes if you just make a blanket statement, you get all the, you know, arguers come out. And we said, well, now we can not just have these conversations, but we can have the conversations and share our resources. And if we share our resources, if you want to argue with us, that's fine, but you better go look at our resources first to find something that contradicts it. And we were believers that science is never settled. And we thought, you know, we were raised when, was it Jupiter? No, it wasn't Jupiter. Which one was it? Pluto. Pluto was a planet, then a moon, then a planet. And so we were like, well, things do change. We change our minds about things. We learn more and we decide to see something a little differently. So that was that part of the conversation. We thought, let's bring this part of the conversation to anybody who's willing to listen, especially during a time where people needed early treatment. And where that seemed to be censored as well. And I will add, because Dr. Thomas, you were one of my longtime heroes who never knew that. I had a vaccine injured nephew, and I had some personal experiences where I just thought something seems weird. When I found it in 1986 that they made it to where you couldn't sue vaccine companies for injury, and that we went from like 10 to 12 vaccines to like now what, 72 on the schedule. Like I had thoughts. I didn't know everything, but I had thoughts of like something seems wrong here. So we thought, why don't we just be willing to have uncomfortable conversations that people don't agree with, that they might not, you know, that are considered controversial, but shouldn't be. Let's normalize them. And so that's how Just Think began. And I'm going to turn it over to Kristen, because she was the resident nurse who knew how to read peer-reviewed literature, which we never thought we'd be doing. Okay, Kristen.
Awesome.
Well, honestly, I had never read so many pieces of literature until the past couple of years. And, you know, Amy and I, we were both, we had like these gut feelings with our kids, and honestly, even with vaccines, you know, this really didn't start off with that, but that was, you know, in hindsight, I just remember that was always like a gut feeling. I had questions and Holly was like dripping some information, you know, and we trusted her, but look, you know, you've talked about this even as a doctor and as a nurse, that's just one of those things you just don't question. You know, you go in and it's safe, it's fine. That's what you do. And if you did question, I didn't have enough like confidence in myself and enough knowledge for me to back up my gut feeling. You know, I'm just a mom with a gut feeling, like, what am I going to do? I knew I couldn't take it back, you know, all of these things. So I remember having those thoughts already. So then during the whole past few years when COVID, all the pandemic started and everything, they started talking about the masks. And I knew that's not what we do. I knew masks were not meant to protect healthy people. Like, you don't do that. I mean, I've been spit on, vomited on, peed on, pooped on, and I didn't even have a mask on. Okay. Because right. You don't know when that crap's going to fly, literally. Okay. And it just didn't make sense. And then when you see doctors, you know, on the steps of the White House, the Supreme Court, you know, talking about early treatment, and then they get censored or like shadow banned the videos. I'm like, wait a minute, this is weird. Why would we not be like finding out what they're doing? And I've never been a fan of like anything rushing, especially if it's something that's going to be going in my body and you can't take it out. So when they were rushing the vaccine, and we already knew not many people were going to be able to get it right away, we needed to know how to treat people if they got it before the vaccine was available anyway. That's when I started learning about early treatment. Then I post something about it and I get shadow banned. And if you don't know what that is, that means that like basically our social media doctors, they decide that the actual factual information is not factual and they have nothing to back it up, even though you do. But then they don't let anybody see it because they're worried about hesitancy, which all we're doing is giving you fully informed consent. And so all of this just, it really, you know, we started thinking even more, and we had a lot of WTF moments, and we wanted a place where we could talk about it. And we were nervous. Like you don't want to alienate people. There's been so much hate and division, and why is medicine and science politicized now? I hate politics. I hate it. I mean, I was the head in the sand and I kind of wish I still was there. But it's like once you know, you can't unknow. And a lot of the things I was learning, I couldn't not share. For me to put my head down on my pillow at night, I had to say something because this is truly about helping as many people as we can. And that's truly what we're doing. We're not just saying that's what we're doing, like what other people are saying, and they're not having any actions. And so we've provided a platform, and honestly, it just like it exploded. And I mean, we're so beyond grateful. I mean, truly, it's a God thing. It's a universe. It's a God. It's everything. Like, we are meant to be where we are. And this platform, thank goodness. And we're so thankful to have you. I know Holly has talked about you. We were so thankful to have you. And we're so excited to be on with you right now. It's like full circle.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Is it my turn? All right. Yes. Okay. So this is Amy. And I just, you know, thanks to Holly for nudging us all in this direction to start this podcast, you know, because there were many conversations before we decided to like pull the trigger and do this. But I never saw myself being here. And honestly, like we probably started out being much more controversial in 2020. When do we start? 2021? Mm-hmm. Then now in 2023, because I feel like people are coming around mm-hmm. and people are realizing that all the things that we've been saying since the start of our podcast, you know, are actually true. Mm-hmm. You know, the conspiracy theorists we're batting 1,000 here. Yeah. But I was raised more on the left growing up. I hated politics. As soon as I, you know, grew up and went to college, that I was done with the political talk. I never knew in my life that medicine, race, anything was political. You know, I just had my views and I didn't realize that that made me on a side. And that's what I started seeing over 2020, you know, with a lot of the different things that were happening is that like, if I, you know, we saw the doctors talking about, hey, there's early treatment, you know, we want to help people and that gets censored. And if I believe that that's something worth sharing, then I'm like an extreme right wing
lunatic,
Trump supporting, like, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like this is just common sense. So, that was really eye opening to me and I feel like I'm coming at it from a perspective of, you know, being raised on a more different side of politics. And now all of a sudden I'm finding myself landing way over here just because of just the truth, what I believe to be true. It was just, it's very strange, but, I've never had like major distrust in the government, major distrust in our medical institutions until now. So I didn't come into this with those biases. Mm-hmm. I really felt like, oh, well, you know, everybody's doing the best for everybody. Like everybody wants pharma's trying to help and mm-hmm. medicine hospitals want to help us. And, you know, the CDC, FDA, you know, they're all doing what they need to do to help all of us. And I had no skepticism. So that is one of the main things that's changed for me over starting this podcast in 2020 and COVID. And that's one of the silver linings of COVID, mm-hmm. you know, from all the stuff that we went through and how bad it was, it opened so many eyes, including my own. And so I love to learn. I'm an avid learner. I mm-hmm. love to just learn new things. And so that just sent me on this deep dive of just learning more about how the world works and what's really true. And, you know, at the beginning of COVID, we were scared, not scared, but we were doing what we were told, you know, like, mm-hmm. okay, well, mm-hmm. let's all stay home. We're going to quarantine. What was it? 15 days to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
We did our 15 days and we were really like, we live a mile from each other. We're together all the time. I have 3 kids. She has 3 kids, cousins. I'm talking about Kristen, but, we didn't even see each other. Like, we're like, no, can't see you. You know, I mean, we were in it. But the more time that went on and the more we started to like wake up from that and just use our brains, like with the masking and just the longer it went on, the more we became skeptical. And luckily that skepticism led us to just have more conversations up until, you know, here we are with mm-hmm. a podcast that's thriving and successful because it's not just us that, you know, that are looking for this information, that mm-hmm. are thirsty for the truth. So,
yeah. I am so excited to have you three on. To think that, you know, being moms, I mean, your regular other job isn't in the medical field, is it?
No.
No. So mm-hmm. you
became aware that something's not right here. And if things don't seem to add up, that should be a clue, right? We need to investigate. And I think what I've noticed happening, still too slow, which is why I'm so glad you guys have your podcast. And I want people to go and visit you and tune in, because you do such a great job of dealing with complex, controversial information. But when it comes to vaccines, the traditional role that you all three probably played or might have played, and I'll have you speak to this, is, you know, you go in with some concerns and then you're just slammed by the doctor who knows best. And, oh, all the literature, da, 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 that's just, it's one in a million risk, blah, 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 right? And you don't have probably in the beginning the science background to counteract that. Right. But I bet, and you guys can speak to this, that you now are so well informed, you can even pull references or point to references where there's no doctor in the land that's going to convince you to do what you don't want to do, because you back yourself, your thoughts and feelings about it are not whimsical. They're science-based. It's the real science.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's
like a long time ago, because we all did vaccinate our children. You know,
I mean,
kids are vaccinated.
Like, mostly. We're kicking ourselves, you know, but I specifically remember sitting in that parking lot and it was 2020, right? Because it was kindergarten, because Knox was supposed to have his well visit. Well, actually, it was supposed to be his visit for, you know, for kindergarten and the shots.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the silver lining, I had actually done my research. And I remember calling Amy. I'm like, all right, I'm prepared. I had all my notes. I'm like, I'm going to ask her about this. I'm going into it asking questions. And she couldn't answer my questions. And she even said, I said, do you have any other resources besides this one sheet? You know, the sheet that they want you to see.
Right.
And I said, and I'm not just looking at bloggers. I said, I'm looking at studies. And she said, anything but the CDC. And she was like, well, I can tell you what our doctor tells everybody, or I can have him call you. I was like, let's do that. And I remember her saying, she never did. And the doctor never called me, by the way. But I remember her saying that if we refuse, that the parents have to sign something, or they ask the parents to sign, you know, something like taking responsibility if something happened. And I said, well, do y'all sign something? Like, if something happened to my child and there's a vaccine injury, she was like, no. And then she just kind of giggled. I was like, huh. Well, that answered my question. I just said, I'm going to decline at this time until I get more information and hear from y'all. And I have not heard back from them.
And I was able to do the same thing at my daughter's, because our kids are the same age, at her kindergarten well check for her shots. And it was a different doctor. We go to the same practice, but a different doctor. And I was like, you know, I know she was due for like just boosters at that point, like a booster of MMR, a booster of, I can't remember.
Probably varicella.
Polio. But, yeah. And something.
Tdap, yeah. Polio. Yep.
And so I said, can you just tell me, like, what is the risk and benefit? Like, what are the risks of these diseases to her? And what's the benefit of me getting the shot? And I just, the one thing that sticks out is that she said, well, you know, I mean, rubella, if she were to get rubella, that could be really, really devastating if she were pregnant to her fetus. And I said, well, she's five. So I don't think I'm really necessarily worried about that at this moment. And so we kept on, and she gave me some more risk benefit, but I said, she's like, if you want, I'll just send you some more. I can email you and everything. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. Never got an email.
Uh-huh.
Explain more. So that was it.
I think that's the thing, Dr. Thomas, and with all due respect to you, because I know you understand exactly what I'm going to say, because you're humble enough to acknowledge this reality. That the moment you realize that the doctors that we have unfairly, even at times, put on pedestals and expected them to play God in our own lives and given them the autonomy over our own health, the moment you realize that's a huge mistake and they don't know everything, then you're free. You're free to think for yourself and have the two conversations Chris and Amy just talked about, which is, can I question you? Can I get a second opinion? We've always been told if a doctor doesn't want you to get a second opinion, he's not your doctor. Well, why can't you be the other opinion, right? And doctors made fun of Googlers, right? And I understand that, coming from an accounting profession, you know, where you go to study for the CPA, you know, if the average Joe comes and tries to tell you, you know, how to do his taxes, you might be like, dude, I don't think you understand. Like, I understand that these doctors have put all this time into their education and practicing medicine that they, it's a bit offensive. I understand. But what we need to change in our society is doctors have to humble themselves and recognize they don't know what they don't know. And the patients have to realize that you are your best advocate. And you better do some Googling and you better do some research so that you do know, because all three of us, we don't have time to tell those stories today, but we have all three experienced times where honestly, I shouldn't be here. If the doctors had not, if I had not insisted, I had DVT in pregnancy and it went undiagnosed with three different hospital visits. It was my husband insisting that they figure out what was wrong with me that saved my life. And then beyond that, they screwed up my medicine. Like, there were so many errors. I shouldn't be here. My firstborn shouldn't be here either. And I just share that to say it was an advocacy for ourselves and fighting for ourselves that we're well. And then also the way we healed ourselves was not modern medicine either. We stayed chronically ill on traditional medicines. Now, everyone has their own stories, but these are ours. And it is the impetus behind Just Think. We had to just think for ourselves. We had to just learn for ourselves. And it saved us and it's made us healthier human beings. And we're here to share that information and help point people in the right directions so they can do that for themselves, because the system has to change. The system is very broken, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, having come from the system, you know, I went to Dartmouth, board certified pediatrician, and I spoke the lingo that you hear these days still. 99% of pediatricians, 99% of doctors actually don't know what they don't know. That's the scary thing. They really do think that vaccines are safe and effective. I mean, the people like Fauci and the, you know, oh, you could say Peter Hotez and, you know, all these guys who are the spokes, they know. They certainly know. But your run-of-the-mill pediatrician doesn't. So they actually believe what they're telling people. And that's really dangerous, right? Because you can speak it with this conviction, but it's not based on good science at all.
Right.
It's based on junk. So the next phase from going from being a parent or mom or a dad who's ill-prepared to face that kind of overconfident doctor who knows quote best is you come prepared, as you three clearly are now prepared. What do you see as your mission with the Just Think podcast?
Oh, Holly.
I think I've become the spokesperson for them sometimes because it's funny.
We joke because we need like Holly in our pocket. She says all the things that ours just sounds like verbal diarrhea, and she just puts it all, wraps it in a little bow. Yeah. Gives you
all right.
A little Valentine's gift. Well,
wrap it in a little bow for us.
Our mission is to challenge our listeners to just think for themselves, to do their own research, to make up their own minds, to resist tribalistic thinking that says, well, since I align with this group on this topic, I must align with them on all topics, to break the divide that we see in the United States that is tribalistic thinking that requires Americans to abdicate thinking for themselves. And to bring the truth with evidence to our podcast. And we're waiting for someone to come prove us wrong, Dr. Thomas. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean that we spend so much time trying to make sure we're right, that when we put something out there, we wait for someone to say, nope, girls, you got it all wrong. Mm-hmm. And you knock on wood, it hasn't happened yet. But that's the mission, is that we know people need this information. It's not on the mainstream. It should be. It's not. We're not owned by anyone. Chris and Amy and I don't get paid by anyone to talk about this. In fact, we lose time and sleep by doing it. But we believe it is a mission. Like you, we believe it's a calling.
Yeah.
Right.
So each of you can answer this if you wish. What prepared you for this? This is not typical for moms who just decide, no, something needs to be done here. And then you do it. So you all have an incredible skill set, obviously. What in your lives prepared you for this?
Ooh, I think even just being a mom. I mean, because I think what this has done is like brought the mama bear out. I think that it makes you think more. I started questioning so much more even when I had a baby, because it's one thing when you're making decisions for yourself. But then when you're making decisions for another human being, that's honestly when I really started thinking even more. You know, that's really when I started listening more to my gut and really when I started doing more research. You know, you research the heck out of, you know, your cribs and your car seats and all this stuff. Why not research something that you're injecting into your child? Or why not research these decisions that the school boards are making for your children and what they're learning? So there's just been so much that, and I think that we've become more, you know, as you get older, you know how to set boundaries and you know how to not care as much what other people think. And I'm not saying, look, I'm a pleaser. I agree. Like, I want everybody to be happy and to, you know, I don't want to burn any bridges. I've lost friends over this, but then I'm like, okay, were they really my friend? I mean, so you're weeding people out, pruning them out, not my fault. They choose that. And that's okay. But that's on them. That's not on me, but that can't make me change who I am. So I think I've become more confident in just, if this is my belief and I am our intention, when your intention is to help somebody else and your intention is for others and people, they have to know that when they hear from us, we are not ever here to instill fear or we're here to purely empower people mm-hmm. with knowledge and confidence. And I think as we get older and wiser, and I'm not wise by any means, but you know, don't you think like life experiences and just momming and
also I think having each other, I think having, you know, at least one other person mm-hmm. that shares your beliefs or that sees what you see, because when you can bounce thoughts off of like, do you think this is weird? Like, why is this? Mm-hmm. And you can have conversations with people that get you and get your concerns and get your skepticisms and kind of see what you see. It gives you more confidence than to know that you're not the only one.
Yes.
And there are so many people that message us, you know, through the podcast saying, gosh, thank you. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was crazy. I feel like I've been on an island. And we reassure people all the time that you are not alone. There are so many people that are having these thoughts, but they may not have the network around them. You know, their families may not believe what they see or believe what they believe, their friends. And so they do feel alone. Mm-hmm. So just finding a like-minded group of people, somehow, some way, that is so empowering to get you to really feel more convicted, to feel confident, to speak out and speak up when you know that there's somebody like who has your back.
And the way you find those people is by you speaking up. Like, you'd be surprised. So many people are so scared to say something or so scared to say what they believe or what they just read or what they thought or, you know, these stories that they're hearing. They're so scared, but I guarantee you, you're going to have more people say that they agree with you or that they have experienced the same thing than the people who are going to be haters.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that has really helped us, like literally just taking that first step or that having that first tough conversation.
Mm-hmm. And remember how scared we were when we first started? Like, it was like, yes. I remember, you know, we didn't even want to say like Donald Trump's name in the podcast because we were like, it's going to make people go, you know, like we were so scared in a way, and we have evolved in that way. But I know what it is. It's what they're saying. The more we normalized saying things that weren't popular or that we knew could be polarizing. And when I say things, it's not like we were out preaching a message here. We were saying, can we talk about abortion? Can we talk about vaccines? Can we talk about ivermectin? Right? These buzzwords that like no one wanted to talk about because they were terrified if they gave their actual opinion, cancel culture would come calling. Mm-hmm. And we considered that, Dr. Thomas, and I'm sure because you've been a part of that, you know what that feels like. We're like, well, we could get canceled. And then we thought, well, we're canceled together, you know, and you know what? And we'll die on that hill. Like, we actually are willing, like, I hope we don't have to, but we so believe in what we found. We so believe that children are injured every day by a vaccine program that is literally based on greed and lies. Greed, lies, and cover up. And if you don't know that by now, listener, go do some research, because all it takes is a few little things that you can know that in 1986, they did make it to where you couldn't sue them anymore. And the minute they were not responsible for what they did to your kid, they just whipped that program straight up into the stratosphere. And our kids have never been sicker. Our kids have never had more ADHD, autism, cancers, autoimmune disease. And just knowing those little things, I didn't have to know every scientific study. I didn't have to know anything other than something isn't right. Mm-hmm. And so we will always, the three of us are like, if this is the hill we don't and we get canceled forever, we have helped another mom or another dad just think for themselves and feel empowered to make those decisions for themselves. Then we've done our job.
Yeah. Powerful. So you were all vaccinating your kids. So you can't be called anti-vaxxers.
Right. Former vaxxer.
Yeah. Former vaxxer. But I bet you've been called anti-vaxxers.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll use those derogatory terms. So, you know, they just added the COVID jab to the childhood immunization schedule, right? You saw that?
Oh, yeah.
We knew that was coming because the ACIP, the CDC branch that makes the recommendations, approved it unanimously back last October or something like that, which was insane. There's no safety data. Well, there's lots of data that shows it's very unsafe, but nothing showing that it's safe, and it's still experimental, but they just approved it. It is the most insane thing. What you all are thinkers. What do you say to other parents who maybe aren't thinking yet? Because it's all about, you're right, it's about getting people to think.
I almost feel like this is a crazy blessing in disguise that's going to backfire so hard. Because I think most parents at this point, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but I feel like most parents are like, whoa, 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 when it comes to vaccinating their children with the COVID vaccine. So when they see how it doesn't matter, like it doesn't right. matter, they steamrolled it through. They're not looking at any of the, you know, the lack of evidence, the lack of efficacy. They're not looking at any of it. They're like, nope, it's on the schedule. So I feel like maybe, just maybe, the fact that parents can now see they've been a little skeptical of this vaccine. However, these agencies just put it on the schedule anyway. Doesn't matter. Like, they might be like, huh, well, if they did it for that one, like, well, why, you know, I just feel like it might even crack some people open. Don't y'all?
Oh yeah. And I want y'all to think about this. Here's where, like, one of my friends in the beginning, where we also have a bigger text thread too, that she said, you know, it's hard not to sound defensive when somebody comes back at you and you're trying to defend with the knowledge and studies. You're like, you got this, you got this, but come back with a question. And if you ask somebody to make them think, like, that's where the questions are, what makes you think. Ask somebody or ask the doctor, how many kids have died from COVID this year? I looked that up for North Carolina in 2022, all of 2022. And I'm pretty sure that was all, or whenever I've had this, November, this is in my notes. Zero.
Zero.
Zero deaths ages 0 to 17 in North Carolina for 2022. And that is on the CDC website. You can look up monthly data or yearly data. And they are approving this for a deadly disease for kids who aren't dying from it. And I'm not saying, please don't say that I did, you know, that no kid has died from this, but they've even done big studies with this, that it's a lot of comorbidities. It's the really sick and immunocompromised kids that are dying, and it's from the complications. And it's probably, and then you're like, did they get early treatment? What were they doing beforehand? You know, these are always the questions that I was asking before right. anyway.
Well, I think the proof is in the percentages. I mean, there is a very small percentage of people that are vaccinating their children with this vaccine, right?
Right.
I
that's mean, true too.
What very like, small. Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking most parents are like,
this may be their line.
This is their line. They're figuring it out. They're like, huh, no, we don't think this is, you know, you can just look at the percentages. And then when they see that they approved it anyway, and they're putting it on the schedule, then that's why I'm hoping that people will be like, well, that's weird.
And they've got to realize the corruption of pharma. Yeah. If you are seeing, and if you're not, I'm like, wake up.
Yeah.
You connect the dots.
I don't know if you can help those people.
Then you just pray.
Yeah.
Well, it's the other thing is, for any parent listening, if you think, well, it's to protect their grandmother, it's to protect. No, no, it does not. This is acknowledged now by everyone, does not prevent transmission. So if the thought is, let's vaccinate the kids to protect the teachers, you know, that was the original thing. Let's so that we don't have school breakouts. Never had a school breakout, right? Let's vaccinate the kids to protect teachers. Let's vaccinate the kids to protect grandma, and then calling us grandma killers when we didn't go get the vaccine. Well, that was never substantiated in science, and they knew it. Pfizer knew it back before this thing rolled out. And we now know that thanks to the really brave people at places like the Daily Clout who are going through their documents and seeing that they actually did not know. And I think that's another thing we saw too, Dr. Thomas. Pfizer tested this on children when they weren't supposed to be. That news broke last week. They were testing on children they weren't supposed to be, and then they had adverse reactions. And Kristen, wasn't it like a high percentage of adverse reactions in those kids? Like, it was frightening. So again, just think, get informed and just think. And there, we cannot come up with one reason. Any child, I can't even come up with a reason to vaccinate an adult at this point, but that's up to you. But a child, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It points to the corruption and the lies and the absolutely lack of science. They are not following the science. If the science is Anthony Fauci, yes, they're following a liar and a cheater, if you ask me. But I will never understand his mentality. I will never understand it. But if that's who you're following, then yeah, I get it. But that's not the science.
They sure don't show us any science.
You all covered the FISA data in your recent show. And for viewers who may not know this, they were trying to get that data covered up for 75 years before they had to release it. Mm-hmm. What kind of criminal organization is Pfizer if they're going to try to hide the data? Obviously, they knew what was in it.
Right.
What were some of the biggest surprises or findings that have already been brought out of now we have access to that data? It sounds like you interviewed a team that's been looking at it.
Well, I even remember, if y'all look up Pfizer, it's the post-marketing authorization data 5.3.6. I already know all this. That was just literally from December 2020 through February 28th, 2021. So when we say they knew, they knew. And there were, I think, 1,293 deaths.
In 2 months.
In the trial.
In three months.
In the trial, the people who got the vaccine.
This was in the post-market. Yes. Right. Yeah. Like within 3 months of rollout. And then one thing that they are looking to, Daily Clout, they're another great place to go to. Holly just referenced them, dailyclout.io. It's like 3,500 doctors, lawyers, nurses, pharmacists, all kinds of people coming through the Pfizer documents. And they did find, they found with strokes that I think it was 50% had a stroke within 48 hours. I mean, you can't say something causes it, but that's enough of a signal or a warning to have some investigation, to halt what is going on. There are so many things. And then as far as the pregnancy data, the kids, like it's horrible. You go look at it, it's right there. It's like hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. Well, Amy Kelly was on our show. She's the COO of Daily Clout. And so she heads up the team that's looking through the documents. And in her words, she said one of the most shocking things is just the assault on reproduction. Male and female.
Yeah.
So
I know it's infertility. It's lost pregnancies, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the lies covering it up when they're skewing the data, you know, saying that, you know, they gave the whole miscarriage and the fetal death, like that was in the, I think, the New England Journal of Medicine. Was that what it was? Do you remember that, Dr. Thomas or Holly? Y'all remember that It really was years ago, like 2 years ago when they were coming out, but they acted like it was like the same percentage of miscarriages, but it really was like 80% or more, but it's because they weren't even given the vaccine to the women until in their third trimester and not counting the ones in the first trimester. Anyway, it was.
Yeah. I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we've learned they can manipulate the data, right? I mean, when we started reading peer reviewed science, because, you know, one of the things we've realized is when we were talking to some doctors and nurses, they're very reticent. If their eyes haven't been open to the full scope of everything yet, they're reticent to accept it because think about it. In their defense, every system and thing they've ever been told to trust has now been brought to light as not trustworthy. And so it's got to be difficult with that kind of that mental inability to recognize the truth because it terrifies you if you have to, right?
And yeah, it's that cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance.
It just doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it's like how?
The CDC, who I've trusted my whole career to get me the best data, the best, right?
Yeah.
Is corrupt. It's like, it's, well, if you look at their mission statement, it's all about the vaccine program. It's not about health and wellness. So anyway, I want you guys to be able to get out what you feel is most important. Each one of you, I know in your show, you've covered, we talked about the Pfizer data. You've had Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, you've Dr. talked Paul. About our education system, Steve Kirsch, and so many other amazing guests. But touch on each of you, what one thing do you want to just highlight for people who are listening to this show that you feel they just really need to pay attention to?
Oh, man. Well, I know that for I think all three of us will agree that once we can get past this COVID stuff, you know, we started this podcast and it was it was like COVID part one. COVID part two, more about COVID.
Here's COVID. We're like, vaccine, we're going to stop talking about this.
We're trying to get away from COVID, we promise. but we see, I mean, I just want to speak to what I think we all see our long-term mission as, is to really kind of help people to build this parallel system. Because like Holly said earlier, the old system is broken. Our established, you know, all the agencies that we thought we could trust is broken. The hospital system's broken. So we want it. We can't rebuild the old. We need to create the new. So I think that's what we want to be a part of, is we want to be a part of pointing people to resources, learning more about health and wellness in general, staying well, prevention. Mm-hmm. You know, what was that thing that we posted the other day about my goal is to make my body be.
Yes. I just posted actually.
Yep. It's really good. Something about my goal is to make sure that
says, get this one right here.
Yeah.
Get your body to a level where pharma companies can't profit off of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
I think that is our, like, that's our gold standard, our mission, and just kind of what we want to really drive home to everyone and just focus on is kind of being bulletproof when it comes to pharma and help build this new system that needs to be built and help people learn how to stay well and be well without needing the traditional system anymore.
And not to be scared, like not to have the fear. I think it's more even empowering. We've already mentioned this, but you get confidence with competence, you know, so you need the knowledge. You don't have to know everything, but I think that's what people hesitate. And that's what hurt me for a while, because I didn't have, it's like I knew something, but once I started learning more and more, even when I had that conversation with the doctor about my son, I still was nervous. You know, I wasn't 100%. Now I'm 100%. I am ready. Bring it. But I still feel like I would still, like, yeah, who knows how I would react, but I think that the most important thing is to try to have those conversations. Anybody listening, if you haven't had the tough conversations, if you haven't asked the questions, if you haven't let people know how you feel, if you thought something different before and now you're waking up to it, it is okay and really encouraged for you to say something, because people are going to listen to you more than anybody else. When you admit and you can own up to, like, hey, I made a mistake, I trusted this before. I think if you can challenge yourself to, like, be empowered, we want to empower people with knowledge and to have those conversations and to just speak up, because it's not about you. It's about everybody else too.
Well, one thing that Holly, real quick before you go,
yeah,
Holly, one thing that you always say that I love is you say, just say, did you know? Like, mm-hmm. if you can pick one fact, just one thing, if you listen to any of our episodes or something, mm-hmm. something sticks out to you, you don't have to go into a conversation explaining it all. Just be like, did you know that in 1986, you know, vaccine manufacturers were, you know, removed from all liability? And then that plants a seed. And then you can, I mean, we have resources. Then you say, just send them our resources and then they can look, they can look at it themselves.
Yeah.
You don't have to continue. Like, it's not a debate. But just a simple, did you know, if we could help people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Right. And there are three systems that we want to dismantle. And they're already falling apart. So I think we just have to build new ones, right? So the first being the medical system, as Amy said, all of it, insurance, hospitals, doctors, all of it. The second part, I would say, education system, it's a disaster. I saw a statistic that, like, oh gosh, it was over 50%, or maybe it was between 40 and 60%. Let's say that. It's a big number of American children that can't read. They're just not even at reading level. And this was happening before the pandemic. We can't blame the pandemic on all of it. But education system is important because that's where people learn to think. And that's where people learn how to not blindly follow after people to where we turn into Nazi Germany or communist China, right? It's the ability to critically think is so vital. And so we want, yes.
Do you think our education system is teaching our kids how to think?
No, it's throw up what I just said. Like, it's vomit back. Can you just
regurgitate?
So how have you three gotten around that?
But we first of all, I had my kids in a school that's classical education. So they were learning the Paideia. They were learning Greek philosophers. They were learning critical thinking from kindergarten, literally. Nice. So I was very blessed that I was onto that pretty soon. Kristen and Amy did pull their kids out of the traditional school setting and chose other options.
They are back. Our youngest are in private school with the classical education. There is a chance that they will be heading back into public school. My older two boys are back in public school. But I think what it boils down to get around it too for us is, like my husband says, you know, we're just going to have to screw their heads back on every night.
Yep.
You know, it comes down to
learn and unlearn, learn and unlearn.
I'm already seeing it in my son. Like, he's with his civics and the things that he's bringing home, like, he's recognizing that he can't just believe that, because we were like, well, no, because we give him the other side of the coin that he's not maybe hearing in school. And so I think it if you do have to put your kids in public school, because sometimes that's just what you have to do, you know? I mean, yeah. People can't afford private, they can't homeschool. Right. And you know, your kids really, my boys really wanted to go to school. All their friends are there, the sports, everything. They wanted to be in public school. So at that point, then it just becomes really important for you as the parents to screw their heads on back every night and make sure that they are grounded in what's really true.
Well, and also, if anything we've learned too, is local voting.
Yeah.
Your school board. Like, I always thought, truly, admittedly, and regrettably, like, I always thought I just needed to vote for the president and vice president. You know, I did not know any, y'all, when I say I hate politics because everybody always argues, nobody ever wins, nobody ever changes anybody's mind. I'm like, it's pointless. But what we have realized, I mean, we are one of the few places that flipped their school board this year.
Completely, yeah.
That's important. So if you want to look at education, I mean, I'm not saying that's going to be the answer to everything. I do think that's going to help with the issues that we were having within our school system, but it is just, don't let them just hear what the teacher says and then just not think.
And that's the third system. That was, so Kristen named it. The third system is the government. The idea, the way our government was set up should work, but if it's not enforced, it doesn't matter. And we've made government so big, especially at the federal level, that's what's created so many issues. You know, if you can't govern at the local level because you're having to do what someone in Washington, D.C. says, like, that's a problem for a country as big as ours. And so we have got to take back our government. Because I know that sounds like I hear it. I feel like I'm straight out of like the JFK novel, like, you know, but I mean, it's true. If you don't believe that, where's the accountability anymore? Have you seen anyone, literally anyone, be held accountable for lying to you? No. Have you seen anyone be held accountable for greed, for getting paid, for being able to sell stocks and buy and trade stocks? With insider knowledge, Martha Stewart went to jail. Like, I don't understand, where is this anymore? And so if we, the people, don't take back our country, we're screwed. And I think that's the third piece. And we don't have the answers, but I think what the three of us would advocate for is conversation and ideas and roundtabling ways that we can get rid of the huge Democrat Party and the huge Republican Party and the way that it literally is picking the candidates at this point.
Thinking party.
And bring in people who actually want to serve their constituents in a real honorable way. You know,
fantastic. So what do you tell a parent who says they can't homeschool, but they're going to have to vaccinate to put their kid in school?
I'm going to be controversial.
I want the mama bear to come out now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to keep doing it. Do you understand? They will, as long as they can take from you, they will. Do you understand that? As long as they can control you, they will. And this is control. This is not a republic or a democracy. When you are forced to inject your child with something you fundamentally don't feel good about or absolutely disagree with. And so for those parents, I lovingly say, I understand this is such a complicated thing. But if we don't start saying no in masses, our kids are going to stay sick and injured. And I'm not exaggerating.
I'm like, I want to say, if you're going to force that, I want you to sign right here, like a legal document that you're responsible for anything that happens to my child from this forced vaccination, that you have no evidence to show me that it's safe and effective. That's what I wanted to say. Thank goodness I was not working in the ER when all this happened. I had already come home. So, but if had I been, I'm like, I think about it so often. I was like, whew, I would have been fired, or I would have probably been the one starting these petitions. You know, I do feel like I can be a voice for people on the inside because I don't have to worry about losing my job or losing my license. But you have to get to the point where you got to say, you got to say no.
Research your exemption laws, because I was one of those people. I was like, well, I have to, because my kids have to go to school. I mean, mm-hmm. I was ignorant. We all came from a place where we didn't know. And most moms don't until you know, and when you know better, you do better. So then you realize, well, no, I didn't have to. I mean, unless there's a few states, right, that like there's no workaround. Right. But in most states,
because there are states that you don't have religious exemption or medical exemptions, right? What would you say to that, Dr. Thomas? Like,
you have to move or homeschool. I mean, there's no choice if you're in those few states, and the rest of your states. And National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, I think it is, has a map. Just click on your state and it tells you what your exemption options are. Okay. You each get a chance for a final word or a final sentence. I've so enjoyed having you all on the show, but I want people to go to the Just Think podcast. Remind me how people get to your podcast.
We're on Apple and Spotify. We're also on Rumble. Mm-hmm. So we upload our podcasts. We do it via Zoom because Kristen and I live in the same city, but Holly is in a different city. So we have to record via Zoom. So all of our podcasts are also recorded. So if you like to watch instead of just listen, you can go to Rumble. So Apple, Spotify, Rumble. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, all mm-hmm. the social media channels,
Facebook, and we have a Substack.
Okay. And so it's just Think is what you search.
Yep.
Just perfect. All right. Last words for each of you, and we'll wrap it up.
Well, I'll just say that Dr. Thomas, you've long been a hero for me because you just said what you knew. And I want to just encourage all of our listeners that you can be heroes too. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a podcaster. You can just be a human who cares enough to tell the truth and cares enough to say what you know. And it's just like the girl said, just ask people, did you know? And leave it there. Let them look for themselves. This is not about telling people how to think. It's teaching them to think, right? And just everybody, let's just all choose to be heroes and speak out. It's time. We have to now.
Yeah. Awesome. As Holly always says, don't depend on us. Don't depend on you know, Dr. Thomas and, you know, Just Think the podcast, Dr. Cole, Dr. Thorpe, Dr. McCullough. They're great, but people are going to get sick of hearing from us. People are going to get sick of hearing. It takes the normal, common, average, everyday person who starts speaking up. We've always said, like, it's the shy people. When the shy people talk, people listen. Mm-hmm. People hear the loud mouths all the time. So just have the courage to do that. And always, you know, I love that, have courage and be kind. But that's what this is about. You're being kind. We're spreading love. We're really trying to help people. And that, once again, it's your intention.
And I say, just be open to questioning everything that you've ever thought. Just be open to it. You know, think about, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe it? Do you believe it just because somebody told you? Or do you believe it because you truly know it? Mm-hmm. And I think when you just kind of step back and say, okay, well, why do I think this? Why do I believe this? Prove yourself right. And in that process, you might prove yourself wrong.
Most of my stuff has been coming because she will tell me something, I'm going to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'll be right again. But that's where you find the answers, though.
Fantastic. So, Kristen, Amy, Holly, the Just Think podcast team, thank you for being on With the Wind. You are shining lights for our world, and you are a real resource and a gift to those who maybe can't listen to a Dr. Paul or a McCullough. I mean, we're just too out there, right? And you guys are regular hero moms. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.